This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.
Welcome to Specsaver, sir. How can I help?
Hello. I'm a senior, and I've heard that for eligible seniors, of which I am one, Specsavers are giving 50% off lens upgrades on their glasses, like thinner and lighter lenses or a sun tint. For seniors.
You don't look senior. You have to be 65 or over to get this offer.
Here's my ID, which is definitely not a fake.
Yeah, this says you were born in 1877.
Happy birthday
to me. Seniors get 50% off lens upgrades at Specsavers. Conditions and exclusions apply. See specsavers.ca.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, good morning and welcome to The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin on Zoomer Radio, aided and abetted by yours truly, Dean Holland. How are you this morning, Charlie?
I am excellent, Robin. How are you?
I'm good.
You've had a busy week, it sounds like. I guess you're pretty much the voice of Zoomer Radio now.
Yeah, you know what? It has been a busy week, but you know what? It's given me the opportunity to do on a few occasions, including yesterday on the Afternoon Express when I was filling in for Liz this past week, is I had asked our program or our musical director, Kelly Robotham, if she could give me some extra bird related songs. Ah. And so, yeah, so we had like Bird on a Wire and things like that. And it gave me an opportunity to chat about the bird count, which started yesterday, of course. And there's so many people who don't know about it. And then when you explain to them about it and you say, well, this is like community, it's like a community science project.
Yeah.
And you say, like, it's how many events happen that happen globally that you can partake with people around the globe in the same weekend. And then when they kind of wrap their head around it, it's really, really neat. And so, yeah, so I know the website, you know, birdcount.org, it just falls off my lips now. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We both know it cold. And you can watch in real time on that website. You know what? I started, yesterday was the first day of the bird count, and I started my morning in my kitchen, brewing up a cup of coffee, glanced out the window, and what did I see but a red-tailed hawk? Oh, put that on my list.
Ooh.
Sitting on another bird. And it sat there for several seconds until it had annihilated the bird beneath it. And then it picked it up and flew away to have its breakfast.
Right.
I think it might have been a junco. Hard to say. It was not a really big hawk, but it was like, all right, well, there you go. My 15 minutes just started. Up for the hawk and down for the junco.
I was going to say, so you don't even have to record those because they cancel out each other.
Except they're different species.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, no, that is very interesting. And I did send you a short video because I, on the back of my house, I spotted a whole mess of feathers. And they looked like they were from, I would say they were from either an owl or from a small hawk. And which usually wins the battle, you know, when they're, you know, searching for prey. Right. But it wasn't clear to me whether the feathers were just left from a scuffle or whether something actually got whatever bird that was, because it was certainly, the feathers indicate to me, it was a larger bird of prey, you know, but you'll have to take a peek.
Never know. Like some birds have really long tail feathers or really long flight, you know, wing feathers. Paul Oliver is our guy. We have to get him on to clarify probably what happened, because he sure knows his birds.
Yeah, I'll have to send them to Paul. Now, what about gardening? Like I've thought so many times that with all this snow that we've been getting, and we've been getting so much and there's more coming, that this is such an incredible blanket for the flowers that is just keeping everything warm down there.
It's certainly protecting the plants from extremes. So we do have a cold week coming, but that, like you're right, that blanket of snow, which is actually trapping a lot of air, will help temper those super cold temperatures from the ground. But, you know, we did have some really cold before Christmas with no snow. So, you know, it remains to be seen how the plants will come through that. But gotcha. So we got a whole bunch of things to talk about. Why don't you do the numbers? Because we'd love to hear from some of our listeners. And
Give us a call if you have an indoor gardening question or an outdoor gardening question, whatever you like. The number, if you live in Toronto, is 416-360-0740. Now, if you live outside Toronto, but still anywhere within the province of Ontario, here's the number, 1-866-740-4740. And do let our producer Owen know if you are a first-time caller, because then he'll let me know, and then I can give you the beloved garden wings. Please call often. Please call early. And please, one question per call, okay? So we're going to take our first break. We'll be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Welcome to Specsavers, sir. How can I help?
Hello. I'm a senior, and I've heard that for eligible seniors, of which I am one, Specsavers are giving 50% off lens upgrades on their glasses, like thinner and lighter lenses or a sun tint. For seniors.
You don't look senior. You have to be 65 or over to get this offer.
Here's my ID, which is definitely not a fake.
Yeah, this says you were born in 1877.
Happy birthday
to me. Seniors get 50% off lens upgrades at Specsavers. Conditions and exclusions apply. See specsavers.ca.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed, we are back here on The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. It is the 15th of February. And by the way, happy belated Valentine's Day. Did you have a nice Valentine's Day yesterday?
Thank you. Yes, indeed. I had a lovely Valentine's Day. Cleared a bunch of ice off the driveway, all that important stuff. Yep. And today is Flag Day.
It is.
And
yes.
We're all 60th. About the flag. Yeah.
60th anniversary.
And I remember this. You weren't born, but I was born. When the flag was raised 60 years ago.
Yeah, they said it was raised on this day at exactly noon. So we are just a couple of hours away from the 60 year official mark. But
it's hard to get a flag these days. I went looking for one yesterday in my local Canadian Tire, and they didn't have any. So there's a run on flags.
Yeah,
if you can get one,
and
you know where
that was on my agenda to do today as well. So I better get myself out there to the local place and see if I can get one after. I think there would be a rush again with everything that's been happening in addition to Flag Day today. Okay. I know you have some announcements, but let's go to our first caller first. Okay. Again, we have a first time caller as our first caller. Okay. We have Elizabeth on the line from Toronto. Welcome to The Garden Show, Elizabeth. Elizabeth, you there?
Morning.
Yes, I am. I'm a first time caller.
Yeah. And you're a first time caller. Okay. There are your garden wings, Elizabeth.
Perfect. Bird count weekend. You can fly and get counted.
There you go.
Okay. I have a unrelated garden question. The music that's on as the show starts, I'd like to know what that is. but my garden question is about African violets and how to repot them when they get that woody stem. Mm-hmm. What I've done in the past is I cut the stem and then I put it in rooting hormone and then pot it. Any suggestions on how to do it?
When you say you cut the stem, you are basically cutting the main stem off the roots, then re-rooting that stem and replanting it virtually the way it was, but deeper because now there's roots off the stem. Am I right?
Hello?
Oh, yeah. Can you hear me? Elizabeth, I was just asking about rooting the stem.
Can you repeat that? Because I think it's a bad connection. I'm on a cell phone, so.
Yeah. Okay. You know what? Maybe are you near a radio? Could you hang up your phone and then tune into the radio?
Tune into the radio?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yes, I will.
But
so thank you.
Hang up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Right. Thanks, Elizabeth. So we'll answer that question.
Yeah, probably be better if she hangs up her phone.
Yeah.
So otherwise we'll get great feedback. All right. So the sounds like what Elizabeth was doing is taking an elderly African violet, which of course does get that woody, corky stem, slicing it off at ground level and then rooting that stem and replanting it, which ends up dropping it down into the soil, you know, an inch and a half lower. But the real best way to propagate African violets is by the leaves, by individual leaves. And of course, you can maintain that mother plant. It isn't pretty once it's got that wacky stem happening, but removing some lower leaves, healthy lower leaves. And I did this last year when I got, you know, horticulturally frustrated, and, you know, a little tray or pot with some fresh, sterile potting mix, moist, you know, it's moist. And then you basically, you take those leaves that you've removed, and of course there's a stem attached to the leaf, and you just insert, that's called the petiole, or that stem, into the soil, into that potting mix on an angle, and you wait. It can take weeks and weeks, but a new little plant will start to grow from the base of each of those leaves. And once you've got that happening, that takes a little while, the leaf you planted will shrivel up, but a new little plant will be formed. So, you know, you give it whatever number of weeks it takes, eventually that big old ugly leaf dies, and then you carefully lift the tiny little plant and you pot it up into a tiny little pot. So remember, tiny plants go in tiny pots with, again, fresh soil. There is African violet mix out there on the shelves in your garden centers. What's different about it? It has a little more peat in it. It's designed specifically to provide a good environment, you know, good drainage, moisture retention, and the right pH for African violets. So if you can get that soil, I would use it. Otherwise, a regular potting mix works fine. And I'm just looking, but you know what? There's an amazing African Violet Society. I'm just going to double check with the actual email. Wait, is that it there? No. So I'm going to, I'll let you know. There's something called the African Violet Resource Center.com. But yes, the African Violet Society is full of all kinds of tips on propagation and shows and all the amazing colors and ruffles and beautiful, beautiful African violets you can collect if you're a collector.
Okie dokie. I'm going to give the numbers out again before we go to our next break. Then when we come back, Charlie, I know you have an announcement or so we'll get to that. But right now, the number in Toronto is 416-360-0740 or 1-866-740-4740. You know it. We'll be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Welcome to Specsavers, sir. How can I help?
Hello. I'm a senior, and I've heard that for eligible seniors, of which I am one, Specsavers are giving 50% off lens upgrades on their glasses, like thinner and lighter lenses or a sun tint. For seniors.
You don't look senior. You have to be 65 or over to get this offer.
Here's my ID, which is definitely not a fake.
Yeah, this says you were born in 1877.
Happy birthday
to seniors get 50% off lens upgrades at Specsavers. Conditions and exclusions apply. See specsavers.ca.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Oh, we are back on The Garden Show. And Charlie, you have an announcement or so that you'd like to make? Yeah,
I do. Now, I know there's big snow forecast for everybody tomorrow, but if you can get out or you live anywhere within walking distance to the Toronto Botanical Gardens, tomorrow, 1:30 p.m., there is a special meeting with the Ontario Rock Garden and Hardy Plant Society. They're a really fun group. Like, they talk about being collectors of the unusual. So rock gardens and hardy plants. So what they are hearing tomorrow is Erica Schroeder-Secker is presenting the Limestone Barrens of Newfoundland.
Oh.
So yeah, I know. Imagine that. So think about it. Hardy plants and native plants on the barrens, the limestone barrens of Newfoundland. So very, very interesting. If you can get out 1:30 tomorrow, Toronto Botanical Gardens, and then Tuesday, 7:30 p.m., also Toronto Botanical Gardens, the Cactus and Succulent Club is meeting. That's your group, Dean.
Yeah.
Okay, you got to look this up. They are hearing a presentation on growing Greenovia. So Greenovia is a common name for a bunch of really sweet little succulents, commonly also known as mountain rose succulents. Gloria Lee is bringing that. So if you Google Greenovia or Mountain Rose succulents, you're going to want to jump in your car and get down to the TBG Tuesday, 7:30 p.m.
Oh, I love succulents. I know you know.
I know you do.
And I'm actually both of those things really resonate with me because I actually love rock gardens too. Rock gardens really, really resonate with me as well.
Yeah, it's all the little tiny things growing in the little niches. I know. I love miniatures.
I love that. Okay. You know what else I love? I love the callers that are calling in. And we're going to go to our next caller. We've got
Lauren,
Jean on the line from Chatham. Yes, so welcome to the Garden Show, Jean.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm how are you?
I'm good, thank you. And you?
I'm well. Yeah, what do you got for Charlie?
I've got a plant that has a lot of white little spots on it. It can have 5 or 7 or 3 leaves on a stem, and I can't think of the name of it, but I do have an excellent picture of it here that I could just send if that would be easier.
Perfect idea. Yes, if you can send, my email address is the letter C dot Dobbin, so D-O-B-B-I-N, at mzmedia.com.
Got it.
Send photos. Yeah, because, little white spots on it. Yeah, I'd like to see the plant. Little white spots, do they fly? Are they, if you touch the plant, do they take off?
I've never tried.
Because white fly, well-named white fly, is pure white and does fly. If you, touch the plant, they go poof up into the air. So it could be that. But if they're stuck on the plant, they're not flying around, and they're fuzzy, almost looking like a little tiny bit of cotton ball, it's probably something called mealybug. And so, again, that's a very common insect to infest our indoor plants. And other than that, white, if you're seeing it, it's probably one of those, though it could be fungal in nature. There are spots that can be actually a mildew. So depending on the plant and depending on how the infestation is working out, some plants like a high humidity, some plants not so much. So, different things happen in different situations. But it's the time of year when plants are a little bit under stress, which many of our tropical plants are in February, though the days are getting longer. We're still low humidity and not as much light as many of these plants would like. We will see the emergence of what was dormant in the plants, mealybugs, aphids sometimes will emerge. Spider mites are a classic in a dry environment. Though you don't usually see spider mites, you'll see their webbing.
Yeah, they don't fly. I just rub them and they don't move at all.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do they rub off when you rub or is it stuck on?
No, it's right on there.
Okay. No. All right. Well, send a photo and I'll take a look. And, usually our best, if it's a moving insect, like a flying insect, I love the sticky sticks because they're like flypaper. When something isn't moving, then we have to usually, if it's an insect, look to a soap solution. So a safer soap or something called End All. Two words, E-N-D, all. If it's a fungal issue, then we look to a sulfur-based spray and we look at the environment at the same time to see if we can modify to make it a more optimal environment for the plant. So, shoot me that photo and I'll take a look and let you know. Thanks, Jean.
Thanks very much for the call, Jean. And I'll make a note to give Charlie's website or email address out at the end of the show. Okay, let's go to our next caller. We have Lauren on the line from Toronto. Welcome to the Garden Show, Lauren.
Okay, thanks for taking my call. My question is there any way to propagate like Virginia creeper?
Is that something you have growing outside on your property?
It's on somebody else's property, but I was wondering if you can get a little snick of the leaf or a piece of the vine, put it in water or something. Does it grow root, or is there any way to, get one to grow from an existing plant?
Oh, yeah. It's a very, very prolific plant. You can, once it starts to grow in the spring, don't do it now. Wait till you get some growth. Take a couple of cuttings, off the tips, 6-inch cuttings.
A 6-inch cutting. Uh-huh. Off the tip.
Yeah, 6-inch cuttings off the tips of the stems, remove the lower leaves, and then just put those stems into a glass of water and you'll get roots very quickly.
Oh,
but you could also, maybe even more quickly, whoever's got the Virginia creeper, if you look around, it will root itself. So where it touches the ground, so the mother plant was planted, but meanwhile, the creepers, the stems, creep along the ground and the wall and the fence, wherever they're growing. But where they touch the ground, they'll often send roots down. So with a sharp shovel, you can actually probably chop a chunk of that plant out from the mother plant with roots attached, take it home and plant it at your place.
Oh, okay. That's great. So, but if you can't do that, then you have to take a snip of it, 6 inches, and then remove all the leaves and then stick it in water.
Okay. Don't remove all the leaves, just the lower leaves.
Oh, lower leaves. Right. You said lower leaves. Okay. Not all leaves. Okay. I'm writing that down.
Yeah. Okay. You need leaves on the plant in order for it to grow.
Okay. Like photosynthesis and that sort of thing.
You got it.
Okay. That's great. Thanks for your help.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, thanks.
I appreciate
thanks
it.
Very
okay.
much. Yeah, thanks okay. very much for the call there, Lauren. Our numbers to call, 416-360-0740 or 1-866-740-4740. We got lots of room on the line, so give us a call if you have a transplanting question or a propagating question or whatever you got. I love to throw the most difficult questions at Charlie because I just sit down and I just sit back and I listen. I just get to watch.
And enjoy your breakfast.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's funny, Lauren wanting to grow the Virginia creeper, I probably should have mentioned, though maybe she's still listening, be careful where you plant a plant like that. Once it's going, it's really goes. And on a brick wall, you would regret it because it does get into the mortar. On a house, it can cover your house and your windows. Like it's Boston ivy, Virginia creeper, very similar plants, very prolific, very happy. They grow like crazy. So be careful where you plant it.
Okay, let's talk about forsythia for a second.
You sure.
got an email from somebody. You got an email from Karen.
Yeah.
Who lives near Dunville, Ontario, and on Lake Erie's shore. And she said, hey, just a reminder, a Facebook memory of hers popped up. And she said, this is the perfect month for bringing branches into forsythia and forcing those blooms. Let's chat about that for a sec, Charlie.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's easy to do. If you have a forsythia, preferably a big old forsythia on your property that needs to be pruned because they do need pruning. They get very, overgrown and not so pretty. So this is the time. Go out there with some sharp pruners. Cut off some long stems. Of course, it'll be tips, so it might be 2-foot long stems. And what you're doing is hoping that there are flower buds, dormant flower buds on those stems. And you can read different things on the web about immersing those stems into a bathtub with room temperature water just to kind of shake them awake because they're frozen, right? They're fast asleep. But with a hammer, you can also, where you've cut and pruned out those stems, you actually hit them with a hammer a couple of times, and that opens up that cut end in a big way, as opposed to just usually we talk about clean cuts for healing. Well, in this case, we leave a clean cut behind on the plant, but what we've taken off, we make it a very messy cut by banging it with a hammer so that we really open up that cut end into like a little, looks like a broom almost, which is lots of surface area. Get that moisture up into the plant, wake it up. And they can bloom indoors. You can do this with any of your fruit trees, your crab apples, magnolia, anything that's an early blooming woody plant. This is a very fun time to get out and see if you can bring some of that early spring color indoors.
Yeah, no, and we are, I guess, about 5 weeks away from spring, I think, as of now, first full day of spring, I believe, is the 21st of March. I think it arrives sometime during the 20th. And so we're about 5 weeks away.
I think at your place, though, you're still going to have 3 feet of snow on the ground.
We got lots of snow. And it blows into certain pockets. We've had quite the accumulation. Here we are 2 hours north of Toronto, which, of course, is very good for the ski hills.
Oh, yeah.
And now we've got this other system on its way where during the news on Zoomer Radio the last couple of days, I was hearing from the likes of Jeremy Logan, you know, that we might even get more over the weekend now, starting tonight through to Monday. We might even get more than we did earlier this week.
How much did you get earlier this week, roughly?
Oh, we easily got 30 centimeters, 40 centimeters or so. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we got certainly it's up. It's up on either side of our driveway. My goodness, it's getting to the point where you almost can't see over top of it. Like it's,
wow.
Yeah. Like it's four and a half feet, 5 feet
of snow wall
on either side.
And do you have a blower?
We do. Well, we have a blower, but we also have two strong sons.
Good. So, because that's a long ways to throw snow up over your head.
Part of the complication of our driveway is that, of course, I have a vehicle, my wife has a vehicle, my oldest son has his vehicle, so it actually takes up a good portion of the driveway.
Okay.
And so when you move, you have to work around that. And so sometimes it's easier just to pull out the shovels. Believe it or not, my wife, who's like 5'2", you know, she loves going out and shoveling. She loves it. And so she'll go out. You know, she'll go out at 5:30 in the morning and she will shovel, and she loves it. Yeah. Wow.
I do too, but still throwing it up 6 feet.
Yeah, it's getting harder.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a snowblower. Well, the thing about the county too is that it's a different world, obviously, from where you're living. Mm-hmm. We haven't had the same snowfall or quantity. We've had the sort of consistent snow dropping out of the sky, but not in the biggest quantity. So, you know, here we might have a foot of snow on the ground, but then when you're walking, you can run into 4 foot drifts. So we're nice and white, but we certainly don't have huge banks of snow. And even the other snowfall the other day on Thursday, I guess, or Wednesday night, north of the 401, so up Sterling and areas where north of Belleville, they got probably 2.5 times more snow than we did here in the county. We got maybe 10 centimeters.
They made the uncommon move on, I guess it was Thursday. Yeah, Thursday. They not only canceled the buses, they actually shut down the schools. They made that decision, which is very uncommon.
Yeah.
And they just said, we're not asking anybody to come in, including the teachers. We're shutting the schools right down. And that's a different, usually they're open. They just shut down the buses.
Yeah, usually parents who have to go to work can drop the kids off and they watch movies or whatever.
Yeah.
So there's one or two people there. But yeah, they just locked the doors and said, stay home.
Yep, they just said, stay home. And that doesn't happen very often. And I was broadcasting that day, and they spent most of the day, the big equipment was on the main street of Collingwood, trying to just remove as much as they could, because you can only pile it up so far on the main street.
And the streets are getting narrower and narrower, I bet. In your area.
For sure. Okay, let's give those numbers out again. 416-360-0740. Give us a call, especially if you've never done it before. Call up and if you got a question or just tell us what's going on in your gardening world. Okay, and if you live outside Toronto in some of these areas that we were just talking about, here's a 1-800 number that you need to use, and then the call won't cost you anything. 1-866-740-4740. And a quick amaryllis update on my end. They are growing. They're happy. They're happy. Yeah, they're growing. I'm just not, as of yet, I don't see a stem yet, but I'm okay. As you say, if I get a house plant, I get a house plant this year. If that's my destiny, then I will accept it.
And patience is a virtue. So you will have good for you for being patient. Because, I mean, I've had years where I've had very few flowers, mostly leaves. This year, you know, hallelujah, all 7 of my amaryllis pots have sent up flower stems. And I'm still surrounded by 3 or 4 in full bloom. So not exactly the Christmas joy that some people look for, but I'll never say no to flowers. And the gray days of February are wonderful for having all these pinks and reds. And some of them are multi-petals, double petals and that sort of thing. So really quite fluffy.
Okay. Yeah. Moving on. I don't want to hear about this. I don't want to hear about it. I'm done. Okay. Let's go to our next caller. We have Annie on the line from Hagersville. Welcome to the Garden Show, Annie.
Good morning. I just wanted to mention to you that I got my copy of the book by Rick Gray, The Native Plants.
Oh, great.
And it's wonderful. I haven't devoured it yet, but there's so much in there. It's even better than what I hoped for.
Sweet. I hope he's listening and he's hearing that. Let's. Can you announce the name of that book? Because Rick joined us on the show a couple of weeks ago.
The Gardener's Guide to Native Plants of the Southern Great Lakes Region.
There you go. And it's Rick and Sean, somebody who wrote that.
Yeah. Now, I take it Sean Booth. Perhaps was the person who took the pictures?
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure. I think they kind of shared, they collaborated on some of that. It's, you know, these are guys that have been gardening for many, many, many years in the, you know, Southern Ontario region. And Rick has a blog. I think it's called Native Plant Guy or some such thing. And yeah, you can certainly follow. I'll quickly Google that because, you can certainly follow him and get a hold of the book that way. But yeah, I think it's well done. The book has got tons of great information, but it's really well organized. I like that when each page is beautiful pictures of plants in different stages of development with common names and proper names and, you know, proper locations for the plant to thrive. Because for most of us, we love certain plants, but do we have that proper location? Because right. Then we beat ourselves up and it's not our fault. We just put the wrong plant in the wrong place. So choosing the right plant for the right place is what these books are all about.
Okay. It sounds like a nice a gift for that hard to buy person. You know, sometimes there's people that just don't need anything, you know, and that's a nice, it's a nice read.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you've got a copy too, right, Dean?
I did. Yeah, no, it really is a nicely laid up book. Yeah. And thank you very much for the call. We just have to run to a break now, but we will be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Welcome to Specsavers, sir. How can I help?
Hello. I'm a senior, and I've heard that for eligible seniors, of which I am one, Specsavers are giving 50% off lens upgrades on their glasses, like thinner and lighter lenses or a sun tint. For seniors.
You don't look senior. You have to be 65 or over to get this offer.
Here's my ID, which is definitely not a fake.
Yeah, this says you were born in 1877.
Happy birthday
seniors
to
seniors get 50% off lens upgrades at Specsavers. Conditions and exclusions apply. See specsavers.ca.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed, we are back here on The Garden Show. Charlie, okay, I have a question. Hmm. In that piece of music that we just heard, mm-hmm. We heard him say, a forsythia. And I just wondered if it's forsythia or forsythia, or is that tomato and tomato?
I think it depends whether you speak Latin or not. That's the issue. And I'm old enough to have had the option to study Latin when I was in high school, I did not make that choice because I thought, who speaks Latin?
Yeah.
Of course, I kicked myself and still do to this day for not at least having a better understanding of each of the sounds that each of the letters make. So I think correctly, it is for Scythia because of the Y in there versus I for the I. It's not for Scythia, it's for Scythia.
Right.
But you know what? There's a plant called, I would have called it Clivia, C-L-I. Yep. V-I-A, Clivia. No, it's pronounced Clivia. You know? Okay. And why is it Clivia? Well, because John Clive named it in the first place. I'm making up his first name. Yep. So because Mr. Clive named it when he was off exploring in the 1600s, it's called Clivia, not Clivia.
Clivia. So,
you know, I don't know. You know, Clematis and Clematis.
Like, yeah,
you
know, yeah, there's another one. Okay, yeah. I just thought I would check.
It's because some's Greek and some's Latin, and I'm not an authority on any of them.
Because We've been talking about forsythia, mm-hmm. and I do believe we actually have a caller on the line. He's a first-time caller from Jamestown, New York, who has a question or comment about it. Welcome to the Garden Show, Bruce.
Well, thanks, Dean, and I've enjoyed your week substituting on AM 740.
Oh, thank you,
lovely.
Bruce, I get to give you the garden chimes, the garden wings.
That's right.
Yes, indeed. Welcome to the show.
There you go.
Charlie, I've been listening for quite a while, years now, from Jamestown. And at any rate, I finally got my garden wings. I never called into the show, but I called
there you
the
go.
Show
it's about time.
The weekend many times. I called in the Dean Show on the weekends many times, the BBSN.
Yeah.
And so at any rate, you piqued my interest of a subject, forsythia, because some years ago, my landlord, in a spat with the neighbor on property borders, planted a whole bunch of forsythia cuttings from an existing bush along his wall, because the border went right along the garage wall of the neighbor, and the neighbor said it didn't, and it's led to a spat and a dispute, and so the neighbor was planting tomatoes there when I moved in here 20 years ago. And at any rate, he was, then he quit doing it after a while. So at any rate, I want to know how to get rid of them. He planted a bunch and they're just out of control. I want to get them out there and plant nice sunflowers.
Oh, well, if they've been there 20 years, they're going to be very, very established.
No. I'd been here 20 years, but he and his spat about 4 or 5 years ago put them there, and of course they go so fast.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you really want to get rid of them, as in eliminate them off the property, best thing to do is just cut them right down as low as you can. Now would be a nice time to do it because you could bring some of those branches in and enjoy them indoors. And then once you've cut this whole plants down, you know, almost to ground level, if you've got the tools to do it, you know, you'll need some big loppers and maybe a small limbing saw. And then in the spring, it's a dig them out. They're going to have to get dug to get them out of there. There's no easy way to kill them otherwise or remove them.
Roundup.
Well, yeah, Roundup. Okay, the way Roundup works is you would have to, in the spring, when green leaves start to emerge, what I would do is I would still cut them down, but maybe leave them a foot tall. And come down now, leave them a foot tall, get out your Roundup in the spring when the leaves emerge, so you've got those green leaves, and round up the leaves. The plant will absorb the Roundup through the leaves and should kill the plant. Not for sure, but it should. You may have to spray twice.
Thank you. And I've used Roundup before on poison ivy. And so I have used it before.
It does work.
But I know anything else. I can't plant anything else there that season.
No, you can. Roundup's kind of amazing. Once it dries, it's completely inert. So it does not poison the soil. But make sure forsythia is going to die over, maybe it'll take a little bit. It might take the rest of the summer, but the leaves should all shrivel up. No more leaves should grow, so you'll know it's dead. The longer you leave those dead stumps in the ground, the easier they're going to be to dig up, because eventually you're going to have to dig them up and supplement that soil. If you want to grow anything there afterwards, get yourself some composted manure, some triple mix, some good solid, you know, supplement for the existing soil. And then if it's sunny, go to town, plant anything you like. Sunflower sounds lovely.
Okay. Thanks very much for the call, Bruce. Bruce, I'm so sorry I got to run to break, but we'll be right back with much more of the Garden Show.
Welcome to Specsavers, sir. How can I help?
Hello. I'm a senior, and I've heard that for eligible seniors, of which I am one, Specsavers are giving 50% off lens upgrades on their glasses, like thinner and lighter lenses or a sun tint. For seniors.
You don't look senior. You have to be 65 or over to get this offer.
Here's my ID, which is definitely not a fake.
Yeah, this says you were born in 1877.
Happy birthday
seniors
to me.
Seniors get 50% off lens upgrades at Specsavers. Conditions and exclusions apply. See specsavers.ca.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, it is The Garden Show on Zoomer Radio with Charlie Dobbin. And Charlie, let's go right to our next caller. We have Jean on the line from New Market. Welcome to The Garden Show, Jean.
Good morning, you two. Just a quick admiration. You told me to cut the amaryllis to use as a flower, and it works. It's wonderful. It's much better. Shut up. I won't talk to you, Dean. I know you don't like this. It's much better. I can get a better view of it, and I don't have to worry about propping it up. And the green is green.
So as a cut flower. I've read that they last longer as a cut flower than they do attached to the bulb.
Okay, so, I'll take that.
Yeah, and they're beautiful. Yeah. Good for you.
What color is it?
Oh, it's pink, I think. Yeah, pink. And nice. I just love it. Thanks. Thank you. That's it.
Thanks.
Bye now.
Thanks
for calling.
I loved the look on your face there, Charlie, when she said, and it worked.
I was like,
wow, you were right.
It's like, really?
It
does work.
Yeah, well, you know what? And I think that most of us would think that by cutting the flower, it would not last as long.
Yeah,
I mean, generally speaking, we would think that.
I know, but it's not true.
It's not true. So,
You know what? Let's quickly before we forget, do an update on tomorrow's. Yep. And I mentioned an announcement that the Ontario Rock Garden and Hardy Plant Society is meeting at the Toronto Botanical Gardens tomorrow. And it was going to be a really interesting limestone barrens of Newfoundland presentation. Cancel. Get that off your calendar. I guess weather being what it's going to be, that actual meeting will not take place tomorrow at the Toronto Botanical Gardens. So I'm sorry. I'll keep you posted. I'm sure it'll come up in the near future again. So if anybody's excited to learn more about the Barrens of Newfoundland, then let's keep in touch in terms of when that'll happen.
We better appease Owen here, because I've never seen anybody wiggling a mouse so many times in 30 second span. So yes, apparently it's only going to be available by Zoom. Via the board members. For the board members. So I think, okay, let's go to our next caller, which will more than likely be our last caller on the show, probably. We have Rob, who is also a first-time caller. He's from Toronto. Welcome to The Garden Show, Rob.
Good morning. Yeah, I'm a first-time caller. Quick question.
I want to give you your garden wings first, Rob, okay?
Give me my garden wings.
We have a process here. Okay, there you go.
Welcome.
You earned them.
Welcome, Rob.
Thank you very much. I have a quick question. I plant cucumbers in the summer in a very small garden bed. But what I want to know is, I like to keep the yield going all year. So, I planted in early June, when the heat's there, and I got yield till maybe, middle of July. But when do I plant the other seedlings to get, so I have a yield till, the end of, the fall time? How's that work?
That's a really good question. We call that succession planting. That's when we plant, and particularly fast-growing plants, like leaf lettuce is an example, radishes are an example. There are many plants that we start them from seeds as soon as the ground is thawed and the weather is warm and, we're frost-free. But we know that this crop is going to, cack out or be harvested, and we won't have any more. So usually it's about a 2 to 3, we sort of put it on our calendars. Every 2 to 3 weeks, keep planting those seeds in order to continue to harvest those plants. If you have a very small garden, then that can be a bit challenging. Maybe consider, I've grown cucumbers in a pot, in a big pot, 20-inch pot, with just some bamboo stakes made into a little bit of a teepee, to come together and train the cucumbers to go up the bamboo stakes, some string. And then that way, you can sort of go back and forth to two different spots in your garden rather than trying to jam them all in too close. Because if you do that, you're going to end up with all kinds of mildew issues.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Cause I had good yields until the middle of July, August, and then I did try to plant one later on, but it got too cold by the time, and I did get no flowers and all that. So,
A little earlier. Get on a little earlier. I've done that with my lettuce many times where, it just starts to get too hot and it gets kind of yucky, and, plant, get more seeds into the ground, and before you know it, you're still in the lettuce business.
Okay. I appreciate your help. Thank you very much.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for calling. Don't be a stranger.
No. Charlie, I have a quick seed question.
Sure.
Rob reminded me of something. So I received some forget-me-not seeds from the Alzheimer's Society. That's their flower, of course. Mm. And so I received them last year, and I did not get them planted last spring. And so I have them still. I'll try probably anyway, but do you think I'm likely these seeds will still be okay?
Probably. Forget-me-nots are pretty tough little plants. Keep in mind that once you have one forget-me-not, you're going to have hundreds of forget-me-nots.
Okay.
Okay. I really like them in the spring. They're very pretty.
Yeah.
But the flowers, of course, are that beautiful blue. Once the flowers are done, they will set seeds.
Okay.
So they will spread themselves from that original mother plant, but they're biennials. So it starts just a little green plant. So the first year, if you were to plant some of your seeds and get them out there this spring and they start to grow, they'll just be little green plants the first year. The next year they'll bloom and then they will die, but they will spread 100, maybe 1,000 seeds before they die. So yeah.
Okay. So I should you got it. And it does say to seed the or sow them indoors in early April is what it's saying.
Yeah. And that way, I guess you the advantage of that is then you have plants to put outside, little seedlings to put outside. Yeah. One time I was making compost in composters back in my Richmond Hill garden.
Yep.
And I had two sweet little neighborhood girls living next door, and they helped me, and we sifted my compost so there was no big chunks in it through a big sieve. And then we scattered all this beautiful, nice sieved compost onto the lawn, thinking we'd done such a great job. And 3 weeks later, my lawn was covered in forget-me-nots.
Oh, my God.
It was like, it didn't sieve out the forget-me-not seeds. So I never put compost on my lawn again. I kept it for the garden.
Right. Now, we have to say goodbye, but before we do that, I promise to give your email out again, c.dobbin@mzmedia.com. It's all yours, Charlie.
Thank you, everybody. Good callers, good questions. I like everybody's getting jazzed up for spring. You can tell they're thinking about seeds. And next week, let's talk a little more about sprouts and getting our sprouts going and some of our microgreens. Thank you, Dean. Couldn't do any of this without you or Owen. Keep up the good stuff, guys. I really appreciate it. See you again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio. The new AM 740.
Welcome to Specsavers, sir. How can I help?
Hello. I'm a senior, and I've heard that for eligible seniors, of which I am one, Specsavers are giving 50% off lens upgrades on their glasses, like thinner and lighter lenses or a sun tint. For seniors.
You don't look senior. You have to be 65 or over to get this offer.
Here's my ID, which is definitely not a fake.
Yeah, this says you were born in 1877.
Happy birthday
to seniors get 50% off lens upgrades at Specsavers. Conditions and exclusions apply. See specsavers.ca.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.